If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it.
Welcome back and happy new year, everyone. I'm so excited. So I know it's been a while. It's been, 2 months since we did season one. So we are back with Sorry Not Sorry podcast.
We was gone for a minute. Now we're back with the jump off.
Hey, hello, shake. And we got video now, so I get to look. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, so.
Oh, so they can see me reading my notes on my phone.
No, seriously. We have notes because I've noticed for the last few episodes, probably the last two. No, the last one, the season finale, we got like really crazy. And like, it was a sex episode. And we kind of went off the books and it got raunchy and crazy, and everyone was drunk. So this time, we want to be structured for the new year because, you know, we have subscribers. We want to make sure we're giving you guys some substance. So tuning in, you can tune on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and we now have an Instagram page, SNSPod_, so make sure y'all follow us. We are definitely doing giveaways this season, so please pay attention to the episodes because when I gave the quiz to win tickets to see Queen of Slam, no one knew the answers. Even Jen, you got even one of your questions wrong.
What?
I asked you which episode did you come on that you wasn't a host for. You were just a guest, and you.
But it wouldn't have been fair for me to win. So I rigged, I threw that for you guys out there. You're welcome. You're welcome. I did that for you.
Yeah.
Possibly.
So I know you guys hear the third laugh. We have a beautiful guest in here. So I know this year everyone's been talking about for 2020, starting their business. I'm having a business already and probably in that funk of not figuring out, you know, what's going on with their numbers, profits. You know, everyone goes through that phase of entrepreneurship where they just feel like they're not doing enough. So we have an amazing person in today who knows all about that. So like I said, I wrote a little introduction so I can do you some justice. Thank you. Girl boss Ashley Marie, a Chicago native with the North Carolina culinary background, is the mastermind and CEO of Trey Street Jam Co., a culinary-inspired Brooklyn-made jam company. These vegan and unique jams are used not only as glazes for meats or vegetables, but also in cocktails, barbecue sauce, yogurt, and many other trajectories of food and desserts. She was featured on Viceland's show Hustle, and now she's here chatting with us all about her road to entrepreneurship.
Hey, you got a
big clap. Thank you for coming. I'm like so ecstatic about it.
Thank you.
We get into anything, I really wanted you on because I met you at CultureCon and we had like an in-depth therapy session. Like I was speaking to her about, I don't know how the conversation shifted to that, but I was talking to you about, I'm like so emotional, about like not feeling like I had enough support, a support system for my company and my podcast.
Yeah.
And you were like preaching to me. And I was like literally in my little podcast.
I probably went in.
You did. You were sitting there. Actually, the picture I used to promote you, I think you had that outfit on, which I love.
Yeah.
You were sitting there with
your jams.
And all, it was like a halo over your head. And just preaching. It was words. And I'm just like, and I walked away feeling so empowered. I'm like, yo, she needs to do that for our listeners because we have a lot of people who are creatives.
That's awesome. That's so, I remember that for sure.
Yeah.
I definitely remember like people were coming up trying to like purchase and I was totally just focused and, you know, give. But like people bring that out of me. Like if you ask something and I feel passionate about it and it's something I've been through, like I feel like I need to give you that like, you know, focus for a little bit. So I definitely remember like,
definitely,
you know, giving you everything
I had. Just to insert, right? I want to tell our listeners the power of honesty, right? So, you know, in life, when somebody's like, are you okay? And the natural response is, yeah, I'm fine. Instead of like, no, I'm not fine. I need help with my podcast. And look at what honesty got you, a great connection and sound advice. So when it comes to finding people to get good advice from, honesty and knowing what you want out of the situation is really big in helping to shift that dynamic and actually get information or help that you need.
Yes,
most people don't.
100.
Just drop that gem
right there. Yeah. We started off. Okay, podcast over, y'all. That was enough.
And we're done.
So we're definitely doing segments this season. So our first segment was something we did, the season finale. I want to bring it back. It's sort of an icebreaker before we jump into heavy stuff called Kiss and Tell. So I provide us with two questions that we can answer, either or, don't answer both. And we're just going to go around the table. So the first question is, if you could change anything in 2019, what would it be? or if 2019 was a book, what would be the title?
Ooh, we're going to start with our guest. Let's put her on the spot.
No, absolutely not.
Because I don't know.
She was still, you said that she was still in thinking mode. Like.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute now.
No, I'm going to go second.
Okay.
I'm going to go second.
Okay, I'll jump in.
You have to go first.
I'll jump in. Okay. All right, off the top, if I could name, if 2019 was a book, it would be called Sir, Take a Seat. Take a Seat. Because I feel like everyone that I talk to and most people that, like, I've, you know, vibe about 2019, they all had, like, I wouldn't say a terrible year, but it was a tough year. It was a transitional year. There was a lot of, like, okay, like, oh my God, is this really happening moments? And I think it kind of vibed down from like this whack ass president all the way down to the average citizen. Right. So I think there was a lot of like escalando and like gasp moments, but I also think there was some good moments. But for most of 2019, in my head, I was thinking, take a damn seat. You're doing too much. Like the year did a little bit too much. However, that said, I think that this year started off a little bit tough, but we have to still learn our lessons from 2019 or they're going to keep repeating. So I feel like this year already has a positive vibe, maybe a little bit of a rough start for most people, but learn whatever it is that you were supposed to learn in 2019. Mm-hmm. All those sir, take a seat moments, go back and revisit it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't learn that lesson, it's going to happen for you again.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Yes. Now dropping gems. Damn.
I'm like, that was good. I think if I probably had to, I guess, come up with a book title, it'd probably be, like, Faith, Trust, and Favor. Mm. I think, like, for me, I don't know. It's so weird when, like, I feel like every new year when the year starts, people are like, oh, like, I just want to, like, throw away 2018. I want to throw away 2019. Like, I don't feel like that. I feel like it was just a year for me to really learn how to trust in God and be faithful and just kind of put everything I had into him. Mm-hmm. And then in return, he showed me so much favor. Mm. And I know it was him because there were so many things that I didn't even like put my hand in and they just like came about, you know, like people were reaching out to me from huge businesses, huge companies, celebrities, like reaching out to about the jam, like what? Like, you know, and so I feel like it's something that would carry over into this year too, but just trying to, you know, have trust and really put my faith in God and understand that this like worry and anxiety that entrepreneurship brings all the time is not from him. And just really kind of bask in that. Yeah.
Nice.
Did you feel God's presence this year? Last year?
Me?
Yeah.
It's weird because I'm not a Christian. I'm a Buddhist. Okay. So,
but did you feel like some kind of universal presence or something?
So what Buddha, we believe in karma. Like I'm both my parents and my sisters are Buddhist. So when stuff happens to me and I'm like, I have something about myself I have to change, which leads into what I want to call 2019 the awakening. Because as granted, I'm always growing and every year I'm learning something, but something about 2019 hit for me to realize, yo, Gian, you really got some shit you need to fix in your life. Like not even just going to therapy, but this is why shit is happening to you. This is why you're having these feelings because there are things that you're suppressing. You're not really, you know, dealing with head on. So, like, 2019, oh, my God. 2019 started off great. I started off the new year in DR, lost my apartment, almost did time in jail for a fight with one of my roommates, I was unemployed, had a job, left the job, unemployed again. The only good thing about 2019 was I started my podcast, which was, like, I started in the midst of all of that, which was kind of like, this is like my breath of fresh air. I always say this is something that's therapeutic for me. And I think that I really, when I reflect about 2019, though I hated it, I learned so much about myself that was, for me, it's hard to be honest with yourself. You know, a lot of people don't know really how, they don't know who they are. It doesn't even matter how old you are. It has nothing to do with age. A lot of people really don't know who they are. And I think 2019, I figured out who the hell I am. And I was happy about who I was. And there are things I want to alter, but I learned to love myself more. Because I always try to suppress myself. And I'm so much energy. You know, Jerry, you need to relax. Everyone can't take you. 2019 was a year where I was like, sorry, not sorry. I am who I am. If you fuck with you, fuck with you. Don't, you don't.
Yeah.
And I'm working on myself, but it's not up to you guys to tell me who I am and what I need to change because you don't know what I've been through. So
it sounds like a good year. Yes.
Even though I just honestly, I have to dig both of your vibes. I feel like something, whether you call it God, whether you call it karma, whatever you call it, was trying to teach the world, trying to teach a lot of individuals something last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it sunk in maybe for the first time.
But isn't it weird? Everybody had the same reaction to 2019 where it was kind of like, it wasn't good, but it was like a doozy. Like it was some type of realization period.
And learning and growing isn't fun. Like, when you grow as a kid, your bones hurt. You don't realize you're going through growing pains until afterwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like a growing pain year. And there's always some good spots about that. But I really feel like there was, like, a lot of messaging that was downloaded, mm-hmm. like, from whatever source you believe is coming from. It was there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And it was trying to reach out to us. And phone home. E.T. phone home.
In the most nondiscreet of ways. Like, it was a lot of people getting slapped across the face all 2019. Bitch, you need to wake up. But moving on into the segment, I'm calling this The Hustle because, you know,
yes,
it's all about you.
It's the year of the
so let's dig into your life. Let's get into your business. Ooh. Literally your business and your business. So can we first talk about, you know, where the idea of Trey Street Jam came from?
Sure. The idea came about, gosh, it must have been, what year is it? 10 years ago? No, oh, wow. More. Maybe more, maybe like 12 years now. But I've always been a chef. I've been in the food industry for like 15 years. Always been a foodie, and I've always just like liked making stuff. I like preserving stuff. I know it's like kind of weird, but you know, putting stuff like in jars that you can have another season later on. So I would always make jams and preserve fruit and stuff like that. And I actually had a friend at the time who was like a mentor to me, and I told her, I was like, I want to make a jam company one day. And I was like, I'm going to call it Trade Street Jam. It was super specific. And I was like, I'm going to call it Trade Street Jam because I was living on Trade Street in North Carolina. And I just thought it sounded really cool. And
it does.
I was like, I'm going to make this. And she was like, that's a good idea. Write it down. Cause I was doing a million things at once. I was actually doing another business at the time. Yeah. And it was like a clothing business. And so she was like, I love it, but write it down. And so I definitely credit her, you know, if I hadn't written
shout
that down, I don't know if I would have remembered that. Shout outs to Fabiola.
Fabiola.
But yeah, that's where it came from. And then when I moved to Brooklyn, some years ago, I just got super inspired by everything out here. There's so many entrepreneurs, and mm-hmm. I feel like if you can't do it out here, like, you can't do it. So, and I decided to start.
That's dope. Without giving too much of your secrets away, because this is, what is it, patent copyrighted. So if you're watching, do something else. But what is the process like? Because I know I watched the Vice, I watched Hustle when you were on, and I like saw the process of everything. But you're not customers, you have workers now, because I saw in the video you have people doing it for you before you were doing it by yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that feel like? You have people that work for you now.
That feels amazing. Like, that feels amazing. Definitely on the show is how we started off. Well, you know, I started in my kitchen at home at first, making batches of like, I don't know, 20 or 30 jars. And then we moved to a shared kitchen where it's like you rent a space. Mm-hmm. And then you got to like hire help to help you, which was such an issue because I have no money. And so it was just like such a problem. So I had so many friends help. Like my husband, my day one, always helped
shout
me.
Shout out to hubby. You better.
Oh my gosh.
Shout out
no
to the day one.
No food experience.
Yeah.
Like miserable, but so sweet and would never complain. But I know him so well. And I'm like, he's so miserable. But he would help me. I had friends like in the food industry that I knew. So there was always people helping me mm-hmm. for free, which was awesome. And so then that was kind of the next step. And we were making maybe like 100 jars at a time. We were doing that. And then we moved to a co-packer. So now we have a manufacturing facility. They produce around like 400 jars at a time for us. So,
look at that.
Yeah, it's huge. Like, you have no idea. It's like the weight of the world lifted off of me because I can focus on actually moving the product and not just producing it, which so much goes into that. I mean, you have no idea. It was miserable.
Can we pause for a second? Because I'm someone that, like, throws food away after a day because I don't know. Like, you know, I'm like, does this chicken smell funny? Like, I don't know anything about preserving or canning. Mm-hmm. And I just want to kind of understand the inspirations behind the flavors. Because, like, you know,
oh, yeah.
All I know
she has
about...
She has a new one that's out.
I do.
All I
you better know.
well, I mean, I'm happy to sample it for you. I would love a sample so I could, you know, tell how delicious it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
I think I had it at CultureCon. I had the...
No, you didn't have the new.
Is it a margarita flavor?
Not margarita flavor.
I'm putting that in the universe.
But you can make margaritas with them. We do that all the time.
Okay, we're gonna talk after
this,
girl.
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm used to the strawberry jam, and I'm used to making grape jelly sandwiches for my son. So,
oh,
like, talk to me about the inspiration behind your flavors, because I hear they're really unique. So why don't you come, you know, run down a few of those?
So yeah, I mean, our best seller is strawberry chipotle and fig. The second best seller is smoked peach jam. I mean, they're bomb. Like, the strawberry chipotle has got, like, a little bit of a spice to it, but it's, like, a mellow heat. It's not, like, hot sauce. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just, like, warms up. It's really, really nice. The smoked peach tastes like summer barbecue in a jar. It's, like, we slow smoke the peaches over wood chips. So what? It's, like, bright, but it's also, like, smoky. It's really so nice. And the plum and rose, those are our three signature. The plum and rose is probably my favorite to this day. It's super floral, light. It's like a romantic jam. I don't know. I'm obsessed with it. I started the champagne. It's so good.
I was about to say, can we make a champagne jam? Yeah, I'll sponsor
it. We just came out with one, blackberry mulled Merlot. Mm-hmm. And so it has red wine in it.
Is that the new one you were just mentioning?
Yes. Yeah, it's good.
Oh,
it's
we really are going
to try
that.
It popped up on my story. Yeah. And I went to the page like, wait a minute, what is this?
It's
Merlot.
Really good. Yeah. I mean, people love alcohol in jams. And I think honestly for a while we kind of just avoided it. I mean, I had it for a little while, but a lot of my consumer base is like people with children, and so a lot of women were just like, oh, I can't give this to my kids. And you know, I was like, well, the alcohol cooks out, like the actual alcohol content.
Oh, girls, take a seat. See, that's what I'm saying.
It's just for flavor.
Sit down.
So but they, even though I would tell them that, they were just like, still, oh no, you know, they're weird about it. But you know, some years have passed, and I was just like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I mean,
you should do like a signature line with the alcohols and call it something like for like after happy hour or something like that.
I mean, you know, that's a good idea. I actually have a friend who has a jam company, and all her jams are with alcohol.
Oh, really?
We're about to have a whole nother jam segment on Sorry Not Story.
No, but it's interesting. Like, when I saw your story on Hustle, you went to visit a brewery for beer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember you guys are putting a jam in a beer. And I'm just watching, like, you can put jam in beer. I'm just thinking jam as a peanut butter jelly sandwich. But the fact that you use it in so many different trajectories of food to me is, like, mind-blowing. Like, I think that's really for people who cook.
That's
like
that's the innovation right there. That's the innovative.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, that's, we spend so much time educating our consumer about what they can do with it. And so what we want people to understand is, like, of course you can put it on your toast and on your yogurt. Like, we don't want people to feel overwhelmed. Like you know, I don't want you to be like, I'm not a cook, I can't use it. Like, no. It's good on everything. And that's the point, is that, like, it's just as good on your yogurt, oatmeal, toast as it is in a cocktail or over some glazed chicken or over short ribs. Like, you know what I mean?
Chicken.
You can
you
do anything.
You guys are hungry.
So.
I can't. I don't know if I
what
can
is
make
your favorite
it.
Way to use your jam and your favorite flavor?
Drinks. Cocktails. Drinks? Yeah,
okay,
cocktails.
Please explain to the masses how that works.
I mean, you literally put, you know, a couple heavy tablespoons in a shaker. Shake it up with whatever you want. Because it has such a low sugar content, it has no pectin, no preservatives, no like thickening agents. It just like melds right into any liquid you put it in. So it's really good in anything. Like, we're bourbon drinkers, so we'll put a couple tablespoons bourbon, some honey, ice, shake it up, and it's kind of like bourbon straight but with a little sweetness and flavor.
Oh my God.
I like stirring the plum and rose into champagne. It's like a little weekend Bellini. I mean, you can do literally
that's really good,
that's
actually.
So freaking
creative. I think
that's
you know how
classy
right
you gotta
there.
Be to host an event, and it's like, you guys, put this in your drinks, shake it up, and it's like, oh, bitch, what's this?
We've definitely done that, yeah.
You know what,
definitely.
You just actually really segued into something that I want to talk about, like Black entrepreneurship and support from other, like, the community. Have you received a lot of support from your community and other, like, Black entrepreneurs trying to support your business?
So much support, like, an outpouring, overwhelming amount of support. And this is why I talk about, like, where the favor comes in, because I literally can't tell you people that haven't supported me. I haven't received like any negative messages. I haven't met anyone that's said anything, you know, but praise. Like, I literally, everyone that I know supports me, and everyone that I've come across supports me. And it's just, it's so emotional, because it's like, I don't understand why. After the hustle, people from all across the world, people from France, I mean, people in Germany, like, reach out to me all the time, and they're just like, I love what you're doing. And they write me all the time. So literally everyone supports me, especially my own community. People are always trying to offer advice and help me out. It's been so helpful, I can't even explain it. Like, I have vented about issues that I've had, and people write back and be like, sis, why don't you, like, do X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, what? I didn't know about that. So people have literally saved my life. I remember was it last year? Or was it 2018, I think. Might have been 2018, but we were featured in Bon Appetit magazine. Yes, because it was right when I quit my job full time. And we were featured in Bon Appetit magazine, and we literally got like 200 orders overnight. And it was so overwhelming because I've never had that kind of like spike before at one time. And I was like manually going on the like UPS website and like typing in each person's like address and printing out labels. I don't know. It just sounds so ridiculous even saying it out loud, but that's what I was doing. So like people would place an order and then I would go on like the post office website or UPS and then type in like their first, their last name, their address,
yeah,
like the weight of the blah, blah, blah. And then like,
a lot
get,
of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I would get a label and then I'd print it out. And I was just like on Instagram and I was like, I don't know, like, what people do. Like, I'm so overwhelmed. I've got to, like, type this out. And someone wrote me, and they were like, sis, why are you using, like, a company that does that for you? Like, why don't you try ShipStation or something? And I was like, what's that? And I, like, connected it to my website, and it prints everything for you. Literally hit print, and it prints out all the labels.
Oh.
And she literally saved my life, though, because I was, like, staying up all kinds of hours mm-hmm. just trying to, like, type out these. It's such a small thing, but it's an example of people just like really trying to help out. It was really appreciated.
When you're close to a problem, it's really hard to see the solution sometimes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you think, okay, I got 200 orders. Your brain's in crisis mode. You're just trying to fill out all these UPS labels. You never stop to think about strategy.
Right.
That is why you always have to bake in time for strategy, because you're so close to it. You can't.
You're too close.
You
to
just
it.
Want to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And
you I just had heard of ShipStation before too. But, like, it didn't even register. I had heard of it, like, a year before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, one day I'll use that, but I'm not ready for it.
And then you think you're too small for it, right?
Yeah.
You think you're too small for it. But speaking of favor, I'd love to understand, if you're ready, how you got, like, into that vice.
Viceland Hustle.
Yeah, like how'd that come about?
For those who are listening, it's a show with John Henry Style, and he's, like, this big entrepreneur and investor. And you were on, you actually only watched your episode and I didn't watch it again because
so many people say that and I'm like,
no, seriously, because I think you could correct me if I'm wrong. I think the biggest issue with him with you was because you were working full time and doing your business and he was on you about you don't have time and you're kind of like, I have bills. Like,
and this is
not, and for a lot of people listening, that's probably an issue they're having now.
He drove me crazy. And the funny thing, the funny thing is there's so many people like ask about it and they want to know about it. And it's funny because, I mean, it's not like the show just portrayed that. Like, that's totally how it was. Like, when the cameras were off, like, I was about to cuss him out. And, like, literally, literally, like, the, you know, the team in the back and everything, they were, like, the producers, they're like, you know, however you feel, like, let that out. And I was like, y'all don't want me to let this out on TV. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, like, give it to us. Like, that's good.
Some jaw's going to be getting thrown.
No, but I was like, I don't want people to see this and be like, she's a bitch. Like, she's awful.
Oh, no.
So I, like, purposely was trying to just stay calm. But I mean, he knows this too, but he drove me fucking crazy. And my husband was like, you know, talking me through it and just trying to stay calm. But it's so funny because at one point, like, my husband kind of got a little mad. And when he gets mad, it's like, what did you do? Because he does not get mad. And he was just like, this fucking guy thinks he knows you. Like, he doesn't know you.
But that's literally what I see. I literally felt like that for him because I'm like, how are you telling her to quit her job? Are you going to pay her bill? Literally, I'm watching it. I was just getting pissed off because even when he was talking to, he was helping you get your jam into the supermarket.
Yeah.
He was even talking to them about you. You were in a room and saying, we're trying to get her to quit her job.
Right.
I'm like, dude, I was getting so pissed off about
I mean,
it.
I will say, like, it's good to be pushed into being uncomfortable. And one thing he taught me, which is honestly some of the best advice I've ever heard, is learning to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I think that was such a big learning lesson for me because I was, I mean, even now, but now I'm aware of it, but I was so uncomfortable, like, with everything, like, everything. Just talking about quitting my job, like, with my husband, we'd argue every single time, and he's like, why are you so upset? I'm helping you, and I'm like, you just want, you know, like, I'm turnt. And I realized once I heard that from John Henry's, like, it's because I'm so uncomfortable and I have to just understand that, like, that's a part of it. Like, yes, you're growing. Growing hurts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's going to feel weird and it's not going to feel the best. But, like, when you understand that, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. And so, like, now versus me, like, 2 years ago when we filmed, which was 2 years ago now, like, me now is just, like, every time something, like, kind of makes me, you know, weird, I get an email, I'm like, I'm just like, whatever, it'll pass. But, like, before, all day, I'd be, like, stressed about it and worried. So I think for him pushing me, even though it was annoying at the time, it really kind of planted a bug in my ear that was, like, in the back of my head, like, you need to do this. You need to do this. Mm-hmm. And I kept fighting it. And then it kind of, like, all fell into place really nicely. But, yes, he was driving me crazy. He wanted me to quit. And I was like, I live in Brooklyn. Like,
it's expensive out here.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
He lives in Harlem. I mean,
you
I know.
You got Brooklyn money.
Okay. Do you honestly think if you weren't on that show, would you be where you are right now?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Absolutely not. No, wow. I'd probably be a year behind, if not more.
So how did you get on? Did you answer a casting call? Did someone put you on?
Girl, God.
Jesus.
Jesus
came through. Hey, Jesus from the block. Little Jesus from the block came through.
I'm done.
Okay.
I'm finished.
Oh, Jesus, my bro. I know he knows I love him.
I mean, literally, that's how it works. Like, I think some casting company had put like a post on Instagram, right? Someone sent it to me and was like, hey, you should like apply for this or whatever. And it was like, hey, we're looking for small New York businesses to be on this show and talk about like their growing brand and everything. And usually I don't really pay that stuff much attention just because, I don't know, the time wasters to me. But I was like, screw it. All it said was to email this person. So I was like, okay, there's nothing to fill out. I just got to email someone. So I just emailed her and told her I was interested. She wrote right back and was like, let's have a Skype interview. So I was really excited about that. So I had a Skype interview with her and, it was cool. Like it seemed cool. You know, I can't tell you like how well it went, but it seemed fine. And then I heard back like maybe, you know, a week later and she was like, oh, like you're great, but we decided to go with this other company. And so I was like, cool, like, this is why. But I was like, this is why I don't do shit like this. Like, I know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get nothing. So I was like, whatever. But then she wrote me back, like, maybe a week after that. And she was like, listen, the producers, the people on the editing team, like, everyone is obsessed with your Skype video. They loved your personality. They think you're awesome. And so we fought for you. So we went back to the production company and fought for you. And so they decided to go with you.
Yes.
So I was like, look at God. Like, okay. Now, maybe she was just saying that. But
company, like...
Yes.
It was really exciting for someone to feel like, you know, they were on your side or like you were winning something for once, because especially like in the first few years, honestly, more than that. But in the first few years of your business, you're going to take so many losses, many L's. Like
I'm so glad
L after L after L. And like when you're just like all the way down and you're like, all right, like it can't get worse. You're going to take another hit. And like literally that's what it is over and over again. And so to kind of have a win, like, and my husband's thing is always celebrate the small wins. And so, you know, it was just nice to like hear that even before Hustle even came out. It was just nice for somebody to be like, we fought for you. Our whole team loved you and fought for you. And then she was like, can you take a week off work? And I was like, no, I can't.
Here they go.
I was like, no, I literally can't.
They already started.
My boss was a nutcase. Listen, my boss was a nutcase at the time. I used to get so worked up that I would like go in the bathroom and cry. I would be so angry. Ever made you like that?
Oh, yeah.
He used to, and this was over and over, right? So he was a nutcase, and I had already taken all my vacation, only like 2 weeks. I already took my vacation for the year. And so I was like, yeah, he's going to say no. And you want me to do it like next week? It's not even in advance where I can like beg him. It was like, she was like, can you take it?
I
mean, I was thinking in my head, like, what am I going to do? So I was like, I'm just going to ask him. But I was like, I know he's about to say no. So I went in there like, with an attitude, like a whole attitude, like, look,
well,
I need next week. You know, I wouldn't ask you, but I really need it. And he like looked at the calendar and he was like, sure, no problem.
Mm. Oh, universe aligned.
I fell out. I like literally called my husband right then and was like, you'll never believe this shit. Like, he said yes. He never said yes to anything.
You didn't tell him what it was for. You just said you needed
it. No, I was just like, I need a week. And I was like, I wouldn't ask.
Imagine
you
see you on TV like, oh, that's why she needed that damn week.
Yeah, I never talked to him about it again, but I'm sure he, I don't know, maybe he heard
you
about
think
it.
He's super proud of you though, right?
I'm sure. How that the world works. Like, yeah. I'm sure he... I was literally...
I gave her that week off. That's
right.
Me right there. That's me.
I was such a good employee there. I was such a good employee. I'm not even just saying that. Like, I put in work in anything I do.
Shout out to you, boss. Give her her fake shot.
But yeah, no, he did. He gave me that shot. So that's how I knew. Like, that's what I'm talking about when things, like, kind of just were aligned and fell into place. But then we filmed for a week and... they were like, we need you to throw like an entrepreneur dinner at your house tomorrow.
Production companies ask ridiculous
things.
They
were like, John Henry will invite, you know, a bunch of influencers, but bring some friends. he invited one person. And
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Who actually was amazing and who is my friend to this day. NYC Food Muse. I'm shouting her out because she's like my photographer, my friend. She's the bomb. So it was a really great relationship. But no, they were like, he's going to bring at least six people. And like, you know, I brought everyone and had to throw together this menu and get the menus printed and had to do my hair. Like, it was so much to do in just this like small amount of time. Meanwhile, I had to rent out the kitchen because I was cooking and they wanted to film in the kitchen. So I had to rent the kitchen out.
Money.
Right? Money up front to rent it out. Buy all the ingredients because they wanted me to make jam. But I didn't need jam. Right? I had inventory. But y'all want me to make jam for the show. So now I'm buying all this so I can sit on this inventory. And then I had to book an event because I do all these markets, kind of like CultureCon. And so I had to like book an event at Brooklyn Flea, I think it was, or Smorgasburg or something like that, pay for that.
So they
were
like getting your gears running. They were like preparing. I mean, they probably wasn't aware that's what they were doing, but it sounds like they were kind of getting you ready for like last minute stuff.
For life.
So basically.
For life as an entrepreneur, yeah.
Your business is definitely growing. But like people could be coming at you like, I need you to do this, and the next day you might have another event.
And that's how it is now. And I didn't know that's what they were doing either. But yeah, like
that's funny. Even like now, you'd be hazed.
Yes. Even now people email me like, oh, I need 100 jams. Can you have them by Thursday? And like, I don't freak out.
Delta Phi entrepreneurs.
I'm automatically like, all right, like, let me open the calendar. Like, can I do this? So that helped, you know, kind of like train me for it. But
that's amazing.
Anyways, that's how it all kind of came about.
That's such a good story.
It is.
There's so many things there that I like am glowing about on the inside. But the biggest thing I think that I want people to take away from this is that being an entrepreneur is not easy, right? Yeah. For anybody. And I know that there's a lot. This is like the era of the multi-hustlepreneur and everybody has a side gig. Everybody has a full-time job to pay the bills, but we all have a passion that drives us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that passion calls us to take a leap and to quit the man's job, you know, get off of the corporate teat or whatever and really pursue our passion. And I love that you had the bravery and resilience to do that. But what I want you guys to really hear is that there were so many no's before that yes came through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get really like rejected at that first no.
Oh, that's me.
And we're ready to go away because we're not really built for rejection. That's not something that like the human psyche is built for, especially women too, because like boys are kind of more used to rejection than women because they're always like, can I get your number?
Yeah.
Can I get your number? Mm-hmm. And then they just keep moving. Right. Like just the other day.
Women, we don't like to hear.
No, we don't like to hear. The other day, this guy, I was right in front of the ferry. This guy walked by me. Hey, beautiful. Can I get your number? I'm like, no, he went to 5 other chicks right in a row. I was like, oh, okay.
I'm going to get some number.
Yeah. Right.
But like, you know, we're not really train for this to just hear those no's. It hurts your psyche. It hurts your spirit.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, is this a sign from God that I'm not supposed to be doing this because I'm getting these no's? Absolutely not. It's one yes outweighs many, many no's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like the weight of that yes outweighs all of those no's and it's so worth it. So don't give up. There's going to be a lot of no's, right? Yeah. There's going to be a lot of tough moments and questioning and Jesus, I don't know what to pay first or, you know, where is this money coming in? But I think when you have a vision and you have a passion and you have a calling, that it kind of, you know, it kind of works out.
It'll align. Yeah. Like to hear that your boss said yes and when he says no, it's like it was meant to happen.
Yeah. That's what I mean. And I think that's something good, a good point you said was about, you know, getting all these no's and thinking like, is this God telling me not to do it? I think that's such a challenging thing. It's something I really dealt with literally up until like 6 months ago. Like I think I finally was just like, I'm going to stop questioning if I should be doing this business because but I've been in business 4 years and it took me up until 6 months ago to be like, I'm going to stop questioning if this business is for me or not because too many things are falling into place. And so a lot of things will fall by the wayside, but too many big things are falling into place for me. And sometimes you just got to have that conversation, that faith in whatever it is to just like really listen because it's not going to be clear as day. Like, you know, my husband would always say, oh, like God told me this. And I'm like, he ain't been talking to me. Like I would always say that.
Zeus
but
did not text my
I'm
number.
Like, he like, dang, they have a relationship. He, you know, we're like cool, but he don't talk to me like that. But I'm learning to like listen and understand and just be open to that and not fighting it. And I think that's some of it. But I think again, like so many things will just kind of fall into place when it just feels a certain kind of way. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like I got so many no's, but just random things, you know, just from doing events, like the main guy on the Northeast region of Whole Foods, like reached out and was like, hey, oh, wow. I've heard about your product and I heard it's amazing. Like how has Whole Foods heard about my product? I mean, this was like years ago now, but like, just random thing, like the hustle happening, like little things were kind of falling into place and it kind of just was like, all right. Yeah. Like every time I would just doubt it, I'm like, I want to quit. But right when I was about to quit, Whole Foods emailed me. So I'm going to keep going until mm-hmm. I get another no. And then I would get like a couple more no's and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's time. And then like right when that happened, the hustle would be like, actually, we want to go with your company. Like, you know, and things like that kind of keep happening over time. And so you just have to be patient. Even this year, I like created all these plans for 2020 and just kind of like things I want to work on. Like I'm not a big like, I don't know. I'm not like setting these resolutions and setting these goals because I don't want to set myself up for failure. I've done it in the past.
Same.
So I kind of more, I just had this like 2020 roadmap and I like printed it out and it's like a month by month breakdown of all these different kind of monthly goals and things like that. And so I kind of broke it down by things I want to do. And then already like 15 days into the month, I'm like, I haven't done shit.
But like, you're here.
Yeah, but I am.
We want to dropping gems. I want to move on to the next segment, asking for a friend, because yeah. I posted on this is a segment everyone likes because people like to engage with our podcast. And I posted you were coming on my show, and in my head I'm like, I don't know, my followers are kind of ratchet. I have a mixed following base. I don't know if they're gonna know who
you
are.
We can be sophisticated ratchet in here, okay?
Yeah, but
some little ratchet.
Like I was pleasantly surprised when I posted, and I said, you know, we have Ashley coming on. She's the CEO. Owner of Trace You Gym. Inbox went crazy with questions people wanted to ask you. They're like, I loved her.
Awesome.
It was weird. I'm just like, oh, okay. So, oh, yeah. Also, y'all want some gyms. All right. So, I have questions here. I don't know how much time we have. I don't want to, it's like four. I don't know if we're going to answer four, maybe two. So,
I'll go quickly.
One question someone wrote was, what key activities would you recommend entrepreneurs to invest their time in?
Ooh, good one.
That's right. It was getting in there.
What key activities should entrepreneurs invest their time in? Just fucking learning. Like, learning everything. Like, what? I don't know. That's a tough one for me. I mean, literally, just learning, researching. I can say for me, preparing is one of the biggest things that has helped me along the way. Mm-hmm. Preparing for everything. Literally, even if you think you're not big enough for something, like I had mentioned earlier, I'm not big enough to be doing this, still get the research. You know, mm-hmm. when I was looking at a co-packer, I was like, I can't afford that. Like, how is somebody's going to make my jam for me?
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what, let me just do the research, at least so I can know how much it costs. And I got that Bon Appetit thing. And literally that Friday, I had my first appointment already scheduled, already on the calendar to go to the co-packer so they could make the jams for that. Ooh. If I had not prepared for that, I would have been swamped. I would have had to make all those orders. And that's 200 orders, not 200 jams. People were ordering 4 or 5 jams per order. So oof. I would have had to make all of that.
Yeah.
But I had the co-packer scheduled that Friday. Honey, who does that but God? Like, and preparing in advance though. So, and there's so many examples like that. So, I mean, probably literally key activities would just be like researching, learning on like the different laws and things around your whatever you're like. Mine is a food business, so there's all these different like food requirements and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So learning specifics about your business,
know your industry.
Yeah, knowing your industry, and then taking classes, any classes. Like I've taken photography classes. I'm not a photographer, but I knew I wasn't paying one.
You take your own pictures for your website,
yeah,
right?
Because I have no money. I saw that. So I'm
they're really
not...
good, though.
Thank you, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, of
like,
course. Yeah, you have
I'm
to.
Taking, mm-hmm. I take classes, like, and sometimes I'm like, well, you're not trying to be a blogger. Why are you taking all these classes? I'm like...
It has nothing to do with that.
Because it's just
cutting
trying
the cost.
To... Right, and it's trying to perfect your craft. And, you know, when you work for a company, you have other people to do all these different specialties. When you are the company, you have to do everything. And so, mm-hmm. or at least know about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think taking classes, small business courses, you can find those through the state. There's like free courses you can go to all over the city.
Yes.
There's webinars and physical courses.
I think Harvard has some free online courses too.
Yeah, take them, especially if they're free. You have no reason not to take webinars and stuff like
I'm
that.
I'm in school, it ain't free, but
knowledge
I'm
is power, y'all.
It really is.
And
it
luck
really
favors
is.
The prepared.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's see. What are some of the mistakes you wish you could have avoided? I think we touched on this.
With the business,
yeah.
mistakes. I mean, I don't, did I say that before that I wish I would have avoided something?
No, because I think what it was you didn't know about the packaging company. So I feel like if you would have did more research, maybe that's a mistake that you could have avoided.
I would.
That's not really a mistake. It's just not knowing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's any mistakes that I would have avoided. I've made a million mistakes, a million.
So what's the mistake you've learned the most from?
Mm-hmm, that's better. Yes. Safe.
Yeah. Well, because I was just going to say, like, I wouldn't change any of those because I've learned so much from every single mistake. But the one I, what'd you say, learned the most from,
yeah.
Probably just, like, project management. I don't know. I had this order last year, and it was, like, my biggest order to date. I put it all over social. It was, like, a $50,000 order. And it literally biggest order to date. And I was so pumped about that money. Like, I had no idea what would really go into producing that product. And so, of course, in my head, I was like, yeah, I got to make this many jams and, like, package it up and, you know. But, like, there's so many other things. Like, I asked for, like, 50% deposit just because it sounded good. And they were like, we can give you 20%. And I was like, I'll take it. And I needed 50%, and I didn't have the money. Yeah, I mean, I have to pay my co-packer up front. I have to order 50,000 jars up front. Oh, I have to, it wasn't 50,000, it was like 10,000 jams, but I had to order all those jars up front. I had to order all the produce, you know, that's $8,000 worth of produce. Like, there were so many things, and so I just didn't prepare because I didn't know. So yeah, I'm like calling my mom, like, can I use your credit card? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and she's so supportive. Like, she's like, yeah, she like called me back. She's like, I got three cards. This one got 10,000 on it. This one got a limit over here.
First,
like,
of all, they got some good credit over there. This one got 10,000.
My mom does have really good credit. Shout out to my mom, like, teaching us how to you know, be with our finances.
I screwed up. I'm fixing it now.
That's all right. It's never too late to, you know, to fix things.
Ever. And a lot of people are afraid to even check their credit. It's like fear. Like, and I'm like, they're like, I don't want to check it. I'm like, well, how do you even know if it's bad?
But then when you go to get something you need, you need to get denied.
You know what's crazy? My credit went up 20 points. I don't know why. And I was like, I didn't do anything. I was like, on experience, like, why?
Well, you got paid more credit your bills.
I guess. You paid your bills. But there's a lot of shit that's not getting paid. I'm saying, like, oh, that's what y'all focused on? Okay, cool.
Don't be afraid to know. Yeah, that's what I say.
Definitely.
Your status, your score, whatever. Don't be afraid to know any of it.
Let's do one more question. What has been your most satisfying moment in business?
Probably quitting my job, my 9-to-5.
Oh, that wasn't scary?
Yeah, she didn't ask about fear. She asked about satisfaction.
Well, satisfaction and fear could be on the same coin, right? Different
things. That's good to be like, did you give me your 2 weeks or you were like, this is my last day?
For now.
No, I knew I wasn't going back. I there's no going back, but no, I had a really good relationship with them, so it was never like, like, I'm out, but it still secretly was, though, like, you know, like, I'm out, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I love y'all, and I hope to never see y'all again. Like, that type of thing. There's just nothing more satisfying. I'm leaving a job to go do my own thing, and a job that I know kind of needed me, and I did a lot there, you know what I mean? I put in work there, and so I know I was going to be a void, let's say that. And so, but that still, even though I felt kind of bad, I still was just so satisfying to know that, like, I would be missed. Like, people would, like, mourn me leaving. And they kind of did, you know? And so sometimes you just need that attention, or you need to, like, feel wanted. Like, you know, when you're at a job. Yeah, when you're at a job, they never tell you're doing good until, like, after, until you're not there.
I was never valued at my jobs.
So now you know.
No, you know, Russ, because I was a good worker, and I felt more abused, if anything, because they just depend on me for too much. If three people called out, well, I know Gian's going to pick up the slack.
Right.
Which is something I say in interviews, like, I'm reliable, but I'd be super transparent. Like, right now, I'm having such a hard time finding jobs. And I think, it's because I know it's my resume. They see me jumping around. But one job I left because I was working for a producer, he kind of told me, you're good at being my assistant. I just want you to be my assistant. No, sir. You're a producer. You have your ego. You have an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. I want to know how you do what you do so I can be there. Can I come on set? He kind of was just like, nah, you good as my assistant. And then I'm sorry to throw this in there. He was a white guy too at that. So I'm just like, I'm not going to be your black savior. I need you to teach me the game, ghost. I want to be what you have. So I left. Then I worked for a reality TV company, and I felt lowballed because I was overqualified. And it was, my manager was out for a month, and I just started the job. And I did her job and my job. And people would, she just could not believe when she would call from the hospital, you're fine, right? Yeah. Oh, because you didn't call me and say anything's wrong, because nothing's wrong. Mm. Your work is done. My work is done. So it's like I'm proving myself. I wasn't getting paid enough to pay my bills. I was miserable. And I ended up leaving because I was just, she knew I was looking for unemployment, and she just kept promising me, you're going to get a raise. Or I know you want to learn what the people, the producers of The Housewives are doing. I know you want to get into that. I'll give you time to do that. But then when it was time, she would do sneaky things. And for me, I'm young. I'll see something as a red flag. It's like, this isn't for me. You guys are being sneaky about it.
Do you think it's the industry?
I do. The entertainment industry is so shady. It is. It's very shady. And even now, interviewing for stuff right now in the industry, I interviewed a guy who was aware of the company I worked for, and he was just like, oh, you only there for 5 months. Why do you leave? And I'm super honest in interviews. I'm like, it wasn't for me. I said the culture just didn't fit. He was like, oh, yeah, I understood. He said, yeah, I understand. He was like, I was there when they emerged. And so to hear that, I'm like, okay, it's not just me. Yeah. And usually I feel bad because I'm in a space where it's kind of like, I know you spoke about being comfortable, being uncomfortable. I'm super uncomfortable in this space I'm right now because I'm back home with my mom. I'm not really contributing because I can't. Everything I have is going towards my podcast. And she's super supportive, but I know she's still struggling. Mm. And I'm in that space. I'm like, it's super duper uncomfortable for me, and I just don't feel like sometimes I'm like, well, maybe I should take another break from the podcast. I know we just came back. I'm probably gonna talk to you about it, like, should we like just do like 2 episodes and then just go on a hiatus? Because but then I'm like, no, because people, when I said I was coming back, people were like, oh yeah, like, girl, you've been gone, like, what's the new episodes about?
I mean, you definitely in the uncomfortable piece, like, oof, you still got to make sure that you feel like you're on a path that you want to be on, if that makes sense. Like, so you can be uncomfortable, but it doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you feel good doing the podcast and it makes you happy, and that's something you see yourself doing, then it's okay to be uncomfortable, you know? But if the jobs, if you feel like they're taking advantage of you and they're, you know, it doesn't, I'm not saying be uncomfortable and let them like take advantage of your paycheck, time. Yeah, yeah. Like, if that doesn't feel right in your heart, then that's not the kind of uncomfortable I'm talking about. So,
because most jobs are like, oh, well, you don't have experience being a production coordinator. I'm like, I looked at your job summary. Everything that you listed there, I can do. I don't have it on my resume, but I can do it. I have it in real life experience.
So let's get it on your resume.
It's weird putting it on your resume when it's not something that they will recognize as experience. You know what
I mean? Why wouldn't they recognize it?
On paper. Look, I'm like, you better hit me up on the side with this resume, because we're going to redo it together.
You know what's crazy? I actually charge people to do resumes over. So I think I help other people more than I help myself.
Mm. Well, that's how it is. Doctors need doctors too. You can't always be all things.
Facts.
And also,
you heard that? Doctors need doctors.
They do. Right. You can't diagnose
yourself. You can't fix yourself. You need help yourself from outside sources. And your position in life is to help other people. And that will come back to you with other people helping you. Mm-hmm. So don't beat yourself up about what you can do for yourself.
You know, I'm in the house boxing myself up every day, every morning. Like,
we're not going to do that this year.
But you're right. I was just about to say, but I read that all over you when I first met you.
So from the moment hard on myself.
I was like, whoa, your energy like came over. It hit me like a brick at Culture Con. I'm not bullshitting. Like, just went, literally, people were like talking to me and you came up and you were like, hey, and you just spewed out all this stuff and it just hit me like so hard. I felt it.
It
was kind of like, it's a lot. Like, a lot of like negative stuff that you gotta
about
let
myself.
Right. Yeah. And you gotta let that part go. And the outside's gonna have enough negativity for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need your own.
I'm so hard on myself. I am. Like, I wish I could tell myself, like, I always post, like, oh, I wish I had a friend like me, because I would give all my other friends all this beautiful advice. No, girl, it's fine. They could be going through the exact same thing as me, but I'll give
but
myself
theirs
different
is fine.
Advice.
Right.
It's like, no, girl, this is what you need to do.
You got friends like you and more. But we're not going to do that this year.
We're not. Right.
We're not going to do that this year.
And that's one of my New Year's resolutions. Okay. It's kind of like, Gian, you had the awakening in 2019. This is the year where you're going to love yourself and just
you
worry
better
about
get on some Lizzo level.
Or
Lizzo
don't,
level
but see what happens.
Right?
You know what I mean?
You don't have the confidence level of a white woman singing Lizzo, all right? Get on that confidence level and stay on
that's
that confidence
confident.
Level. And also, we have learned from last year that the world is ready to beat us up and ready to, you know, start wars, do whatever. We ain't going to do that this year.
That's true. Yeah.
We're not going to do it. We're going to embrace our life this year. And like she said, being uncomfortable, being comfortable with being uncomfortable is fantastic. if you see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Mm.
There has to be some hope and some like uplifting and some vision and something dragging you forward and not taking you deeper. So, you know, we always want to strive to move up, vibe higher, you know. And we're not going to do that this year.
And
this
like she said, embrace the light.
Embrace
like,
the light.
Because if you want more light to come, you got, right? I'm talking about this favor. It's only come because I've been faithful. I've been good to myself, like more compassionate to myself, more patient with myself.
I see. That's like, why you say that. I think I'm supposed to get good because I'm good to other people, where it's kind of like, no, you're going to still get bullshit
so
you're
giving them
because
the
you're ignoring yourself.
You're giving them the blessings. They getting all
you
the light. You got to bring it to yourself.
Why is it so, all right.
Bring it to yourself.
Me and everyone listening appreciate you guys, because I know someone listening is like, girl, I'm in Gino and Sue. I'm not the only one dealing with this.
But
I guess we'll move on to the last segment, gems. It was actually gonna be called Gems from J Squared, both of us, but because you guys been dropping gems, I'm gonna say Gems from Jen. And I want you guys to leave our listeners with something, I guess, to take away, because you guys gave me a shitload, so I'm good on this side. Because I'm about to go home and take notes, like, yeah, because Ashley said I need to. And Jen also chimed in.
So a good wrap up. Honestly, I mean, based on what you just said, I just think being compassionate with yourself is so important. You know, people talk about self-love, like everyone's preaching self-love on social, but they're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's deeper than, you know, just tell myself I look good when I put on an outfit. Like, you just have to understand that, like, there's going to be times when you get down. Like, there's going to be weeks where you feel down. There's going to be times when you're crying and you don't know why. Like, but you have to just, like, give yourself a pass and be like, it's okay. It's okay to cry and be sad. It's okay to have a couple days where I don't want to do work, right? Like, I don't feel like working. I work for myself and I can do what I want. And there's days where I don't want to, there's weeks where I don't want to work. And I'm like, you know what? Give yourself a week so you'll be a week behind. Who cares, right? Like, if you feel better, rest. I'm sleeping more. I lay in the bed a lot. Like, you know, work-life balance.
I didn't think that was a sign of depression, but like, I spent a lot of my life on the go.
I'm not saying spend a month in the bed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But
my husband comes home, he's like, why are you in the bed? But, like, he understands that, like, that's my place of solace. Like, I'm not in the bed, like, crying. I'm in the bed, like, watching a movie, like, super entertained. Like, that's where I like to be. So just treating myself with more compassion. It's okay to rest. It's okay to take time off. I go visit my family more often because I have the ability to, you know, just being sweeter to yourself, like you would be to other people, you know, just you have to, like, be sweet to yourself. And so that's probably the biggest gem, especially as an entrepreneur or, like, trying to get on that entrepreneurial path.
Mm-hmm.
We just talked about it. It's going to be so fucking hard. It's going to be hard. But when you're sweet to yourself, like, those, you're taking those hits and they're not as detrimental. Like, you're like, that's cool because I already know, like, I'm going to keep going next week versus, like, nobody wants this. Nobody, you know, like, you got to get that out because you'll get yourself in this funk and then it's just so counterproductive. Like, fine, if you feel good in that funk, fine, but then not shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, like, when you get out of it and move to the next thing, like, you know, other things are going to keep rolling in, so.
Oof, that was a low.
Yeah. I received it, honey.
Yeah, I
received it.
Jesus.
Jesus on my mobile. All right. I feel your self-love message. We're going to kick this year off with some self-love.
Yeah.
Maybe get a little rabbit or something later.
There's
another
that's
ways
level.
Of self-love. Listen, okay, you got to love yourself fully and holistically, okay? Now, another message that I received from this podcast, and the fact that it's 2020. Oh my God, we're in the future, guys. Hello.
No flying cars.
No flying cars. But it's like, okay, so we're kicking off the year. A lot of people have these, like, stringent, I'm gonna lose 30 pounds in 4 weeks. I'm gonna get $1 million in 2 days. And it's like, people kind of set themselves up for failure because they don't have the foresight
goals.
For patience.
Right.
Oh, that's it.
Okay? And we talk about self-love, but also patience, because Rome wasn't built in a day. The pyramids weren't built in a day that we know, because it could be aliens. I don't know. All I know is that patience is something I think we all struggle with, and that if you're looking to start your own business, your own hustle, branch out, do something creative, that is the one virtue that every one of those kind of, you know, creative side gigs need, and it's understanding that there may be many no's. There may be moments where you feel like, is this really working? And in hindsight, they'll all be worth it if you have the patience to get through it. And there's, you know, we live in this instant social media, instant gratification, ADHD. Everything has to be super fast. And plus, we're in New York and we can't walk behind slow people. So there is no patience.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, we really need to understand that everything that is worth something takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that is worth, you know, that's good quality, like some good jams. Mm-hmm. All right. It takes time and love and care. So I think that we should start this year off with a lot of patience for ourselves, for others, and for our endeavors. And I think that that coupled with self-love is going to get us to where we need to get to in 2020.
Yes. Oh, yes. I hope y'all received those gems. Thank you so much.
I see the producer shaking his head. Yes.
This is a good first episode. Thank you so much for coming in, Ashley.
Of course, you literally just
blessed the shit out of my podcast with your
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And follow her company, Trade Street Jam, Trade ST Jam Co. on Instagram.
Yes.
Follow us, SNSPod_. For more giveaways. We're definitely going to purchase some jams for you and do a quiz about this episode so we can give it away for people.
I'm going to host a girls' night and we're going to have some
jam cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I'm going to name that event Pump Up the Jam.
I love it. I love the puns. People get excited about the puns. Like, they come up to me with them. So I like that.
I love a good pun.
Look, it's like, we're jamming tonight.
Yeah.
Right.
What's your jam?
Oh, my God. But thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure, look out on our Instagram for the publish of this episode. iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts.
We on
Apple Podcasts. Everywhere you get a podcast, we are on it. We are everywhere. We're coming hard for season two.
And we're sorry, not sorry about it. Okay.
At all. Thank you guys for tuning in.